This is Pastor Ron Franklin at Covenant Community Church, and you're listening to Covenant Living Today. Hi, and welcome to today's edition of Covenant Living Today. Today on our broadcast, we're teaching about the destructive dynamite of disrespect. If you were somebody who wanted to make your own life miserable, let me tell you one of the quickest ways to do it. Just be involved in a bad relationship. Some of us have been there, amen? There is nothing that will make a person's life more miserable more quickly than a relationship gone bad. We live in a time when one out of every two marriages is ending in divorce. And let me tell you something, that's a lot of misery. Amen? I think I probably shared this with you before. Priscilla and I, as I said, have been married going on 9 years. It'll be 9 years in September. And around the time that we got married in our church, there were three or four other couples that got married around the same time. A couple of them before us, a couple of them after us. Do you know, of all of those couples, we're the only ones still together? That's the kind of world we live in today. The kinds of pressures that are on marriages and on relationships are so great that so many people don't know how to handle those pressures. And those marriages and those relationships are falling apart. Well, guess what? God never intended for it to be that way. Amen? He created the relationship between a man and a woman to be a blessing and not a curse. But it becomes a curse when you don't do it right. Just like driving a car is supposed to be a blessing and not a curse. But if you don't do it right, it can very quickly turn into disaster. And just like the state publishes a manual for drivers to teach us how to drive a car right, God has published a manual for relationships to teach us how to do them right. Anybody have any idea what God's manual might be called? Anybody have any idea what it might be called? He's given us his word. Amen. He's given us the Bible. Now, when you talk about driving a car, there's some things that you know right off the bat will get you into trouble. Have you ever watched one of these shows where they show these chases? You know, the helicopter is up there and the criminal is driving and trying to get away from the police and you're looking down and following the chase. You ever watch one of those? And one of the things that you'll see them do sometimes, they'll deliberately run over into the opposite lane, so they are barreling down the street going against traffic. Now let me tell you something, that will get you into trouble sooner or later. Amen? Another thing they do is sometimes, in fact, many times you'll see them, they're driving along at 100 miles an hour, and they don't slow down for intersections. They just go right through. Like they think like, you know, everybody's just going to miss them. And I have this image in my mind that I saw on one of these shows. This guy in a pickup truck is driving, barreling down the highway, and he goes into the intersection, doesn't slow down, and just when he enters the intersection, a semi-trailer truck came by and wham, wiped him out. See, there's some things that you can do when you're driving that are guaranteed sooner or later to get you into trouble. You may get away with it for a little while, but if you keep it up, disaster is going to follow. Amen? Well, what we want to talk about today is something in terms of relationships that can get you into trouble. In fact, God has let us know, just like the driving manual says, you better stay on the right side of the road. God has said, you need to get this right if you're going to have the kind of relationship that he intended for us to have. Would you turn with me over to 2 Samuel chapter 6? Let's talk about one of those critical issues in relationships that we have to get right if we're not going to end up in disaster. 2 Samuel chapter 6. Let me kind of lay the groundwork for what was happening. David had become king after God had rejected Saul as king because of his disobedience. And one thing David really wanted to do, the Ark of the Covenant, remember the Ark of the Covenant? The Ark of the Covenant is the most sacred implement in all of Israel because it symbolized the presence of God. And the Israelites had taken the ark into battle one time, superstitiously saying, well, when we have the ark, we can't be beat. And so superstitiously, not in faith, but just in terms of superstition, they took the ark into battle, and guess what? The Philistines won the battle and captured the ark. But how many of you know God is still God? And the Philistines had the ark, and God brought on them so much sickness and all kinds of disaster that eventually after 9 months, they said, please take this thing back. And so it was brought back into Israel, and it stayed in a place called Kirjath Jearim for over 20 years. And now David has become king, and he's chosen Jerusalem to be the capital, and he wants to bring the Ark of the Covenant to where it belongs, into center place in Israel, because it symbolizes the presence of God. And there's a whole story behind that that we won't go in today, but 2 Samuel chapter 6, look at what happens. Starting with verse 12, now it was told King David, saying, the Lord has blessed the house of Obed-Edom for all that belongs to him because of the ark of God. The ark had been held and taken care of in Obed-Edom's household. So David went and brought up the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom to the city of David with gladness. And so it was when those bearing the ark of the Lord had gone 6 paces that he sacrificed oxen and fatted sheep. Now, do you see the reverence here? Do you see the worship going on? Every time they went 6 steps, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, they would stop and David would have them sacrifice to the Lord. That's how great it was to be bringing the ark to where it belongs. He wanted to honor God with everything within him. Man, this was a high celebration. Look what happened next. Verse 14. Then David danced before the Lord with all his might. And David was wearing a linen ephod. So David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of the trumpet. Can't you just see the celebration? The whole nation, everybody that was there, they were shouting in glory, hallelujah to the Lord. It was a wonderful time of praise and of worship and of lifting up the name of God. Oh man, can you imagine how great this time of celebration was? And they got to Jerusalem, coming into the city. And David's wife, Michal, was looking out a window. And look at what her reaction was. Look at verse 16. Now, as the ark of the Lord came into the city of David, Michal, Saul's daughter, looked through a window and saw King David leaping and whirling before the Lord, and she despised him in her heart. David is all caught up with praising and worshiping God. He has abandoned himself to praising and worshiping God. He's not caring about how he looks. Now, this is a different message, but let me tell you something. We don't need to be self-conscious about praising God. Amen? We don't need to be looking around and saying, oh, If I really worship God, everybody's going to look at me. Do you know people don't look at you? In fact, most of them are so concerned about you looking at them, they just kind of keep their eyes straight ahead. No, David, let it all go. I'm going to praise God with everything I got. Hallelujah. And there he is, the king, leaping and dancing and whirling about. And his wife looked at him and despised him. The thing that I see about Michael is she totally missed what was really happening. All she saw was her husband was doing something that she thought made him look like a fool, and it caused her to despise him in her heart. Now, let me tell you something. She was in trouble already. She was in trouble already, because when you despise somebody in your heart, sooner or later it's going to come out of your mouth. And that's what happened. Look at verse 20. 2 Samuel chapter 6, verse 20. Then David returned to bless his household. David is coming. Can you just see him? All excited, all joyful. And he's coming to bless his household. And what kind of response does he get from his wife? David returned to bless his household. And Michal, the daughter of Saul, came out to meet David and said, "How glorious was the king of Israel today, uncovering himself in the eyes of the maids of his servants, as one of the base fellows shamelessly uncovers himself." She despised him in her heart, and that led her to speak to him with disrespect. She despised him first in her heart, and that eventually came out of her mouth as disrespect. David's all excited. He's high on the Lord. He's filled with joy. And she comes and lays this on him, not only criticizing him, but doing it in the most disrespectful way. And that's why this message is called "The Destructive Dynamite of Disrespect." Do you know that disrespect can blow up a relationship? Do you know disrespect can totally destroy a relationship? You want to see it? Look at what happened next. Look at verse 23. I want you to look at what the result of her disrespect was. Verse 23 of 2 Samuel chapter 6. Therefore, a very important word, therefore, Michal, the daughter of Saul, had no children to the day of her death. Now that word "therefore" is very important, because what does it tell you? It means as a result of her disrespect toward her husband, the result was she never had children all of her life. And remember that in that time, for a woman to be childless was literally the worst thing that could happen to her. So the result of her disrespect was she never had a child. Now that tells us a couple of things. Number one, it tells us that that was God's judgment on what she did, on the way she spoke to her husband. And not only the way she spoke, but on the disrespect she had for him in her heart. You see, it all starts in the heart. Amen. What comes out of the mouth starts in the heart. And so that disrespect, that critical spirit, that condemning spirit that she had, God judged it. And God said the result of this is that you will never have children. But how was that judgment carried out? The scripture is not explicit about it. It doesn't say specifically. But here's what I believe happened. I believe that from the moment Michal despised her husband and communicated her disrespect for him, never again did they have an intimate relationship. I believe that from that moment, the way that sentence of God that she would never have children was carried out was that disrespect broke the chains of intimacy. Think about it. When people in a relationship start communicating disrespect to one another, it totally wipes out any real intimacy in the relationship. When somebody is criticizing you and critiquing you and condemning you, is that the person that you invite into your life to know you better? No, that's the person that you try to push away, to put up walls and barriers to keep them out. Did any of you ever send love letters when you're recording? Any of you ever send love letters? I guess nowadays I have to ask, any of you ever send love emails? Now think about it. when you sent that letter or that email or whatever it was that you sent to the one that you were trying to get, trying to attract, how many of you started that love letter off by saying, "Let me tell you all the ways I think you're a fool"? How many of you started off that way? No, I know you didn't. Why? Nobody even had to tell you. That's not the way you attract somebody to you. That's the way you push somebody away. When you get to the point where you're telling people how much of a fool they are, you're trying to get rid of them. Amen? And so when you were in that courting phase, trying to attract somebody to you, you weren't telling them how bad they were, what a fool they were, and how they couldn't dress right, and their socks were mismatched, and their hair was a mess, and that lipstick, oh my goodness, where did you find that stuff? You weren't telling them all that mess. What were you telling them? "Honey, you look good. Oh, it's such a joy to be with you. You have such a wonderful personality, and your smile. I just can't get over how beautiful your smile is." Those of you who are still courting, listen now, I'm telling you how to do it. And that's, oh, even that perfume you wear, it just knocks me out. Everything you said was complimentary, wasn't it? And if you did look at them and say, "My goodness, girl, you need to take that dress down to the dump someplace." If that was what was going on in your mind, it wasn't what you said. Even though you were a believer, you would say, "Oh, honey, that looks so good on you." And then you go home and I say, "Oh, Lord, please forgive me for lying to her. Amen." Why? You realize that disrespecting somebody is not the way to build a relationship with them. Now, what we seem to have lost in this time is the understanding that what worked when you were courting still applies once you get them. I mean, I am continually amazed at the way some husbands and wives talk to one another. Have you ever been embarrassed by being around a husband and a wife and they kind of started dumping on one another? Uh-huh. And the thing is, they wouldn't talk to anybody else that way. Wouldn't talk to their boss that way. Wouldn't talk to a coworker that way, or wouldn't talk to their friends that way. But for some reason, we seem to think we can talk to the one that's closest to us any old way we want to talk. And that we have no obligation to treat them with respect. We can just, whatever we feel, we can just let it all come out, and they just got to kind of take it. Understand something. The dynamite of disrespect has an effect. You may not see the walls of the relationship come down immediately, but every time a stick of that dynamite goes off, it weakens the structure. It makes it weaker. It shakes the foundation. And if you blow it up enough times, eventually it's going to come down. The destructive dynamite of disrespect. And you know what the tragedy for Michael was? Go over to 1 Samuel chapter 18, verse 20. 1 Samuel 18, 20. You know what was so tragic in this whole thing for her? This was a woman who had really loved her husband. Look at this. When David had killed Goliath, and Saul was saying, "How am I going to reward him?" In fact, what Saul was wanting to do was to get rid of him by that time. But in 1 Samuel 18, 20, look at it. Now, Michal, Saul's daughter, loved David. And they told Saul, and the thing pleased him. This woman had loved her husband. In fact, let me show you how much. Go over to chapter 19 of 1 Samuel. You'll remember that after David had killed Goliath, and then he had gone on to be very successful fighting against the Philistines, and Saul got jealous. And he got so jealous that he came to the point where he wanted to kill David. And he plotted to kill him. Look at this. 1 Samuel chapter 19, starting with verse 11. Saul also sent messengers to David's house to watch him and to kill him in the morning. And Michal, David's wife, told him, saying, "If you do not save your life tonight, tomorrow you will be killed." So Michal let David down through a window. And he went and fled and escaped. And Michael took an image and laid it in the bed, put a cover of goat's hair for his head, and covered it with cloves. So when Saul sent messengers to take David, she said, he's sick. Then Saul sent the messengers back to see David, saying, bring him up to me in the bed that I may kill him. And when the messengers had come in, there was the image in the bed with a cover of goat's hair for his head. Michal had loved David enough that she defied her own father, the king, Saul, to help David escape and then covered up for him. Put a dummy in the bed to simulate it being David. And her father said, Michal, why did you do this to me? And then she lied. She said, well, he told me if I didn't do it, he was going to kill me. That didn't even make sense, because once he was gone, she could have run and said, he just left. No. She loved him. And she was willing to put her own life on the line for this man. Saul got his revenge, because what he did was he took her away from David and gave her to another man as his wife. And when David became king after Saul had died, one of the first things he did was to go and get her back. I want my wife back, the one that I received when I defeated all of those Philistines. Bring her back to me. That's what's so tragic about this thing. She started off loving this man with everything that was in her, but I believe all the things that she went through, being ripped apart from him, given to another man. The scripture tells us that she raised sons for this other man, not her own, but sons from his marriage or previous marriage. She had a long relationship with him. And in fact, when David went and had her brought back to him, the scripture says her husband followed behind weeping, the man that Saul had given her to. It was a totally tragic situation. And I believe that what happened was that all of that turmoil in her life finally caused her to become bitter. And it was that bitterness that boiled over when she saw David dancing in the street. Michael's problem was not that she had an issue with what David was doing. Because let me tell you something. As Christians, and as Christian husbands and wives, we will have issues with one another. Now, all you who've been married a long time, can I get any amen on that? Somewhere along the way, you will have issues with one another. I don't even have to say somewhere along the way. How about every day? You will have issues with one another. Amen? That's just the nature of marriage. In fact, there will be conflict in any relationship. Let me just ask this. How many of you, if you were honest, would admit that since you've known the Lord, you have sometimes felt yourself to be in conflict with God because he wasn't doing what you wanted him to do? Anybody been there? Amen. In any relationship, there's going to be conflict. In any relationship, the other person is going to think differently and talk differently from the way you want them to. Guess what? That's not the problem. That's built in. That's the way it's supposed to be. As I shared this morning in the class, somebody put it this way. If you always agree on everything, then one of you is not necessary. So you can expect conflict and disagreement. In fact, the way God has constructed us is, if you handle the conflict right, it can actually strengthen your relationship. But let me tell you something. When you handle it with disrespect, it never strengthens a relationship. All it does is tear it down. Michal let her tongue run away with her. Proverbs 18:21 says it. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Do you realize the Bible says that every word we speak is recorded, and God will judge every idle word that we speak? That means our words are important. Amen. And let me tell you something. Sarcasm is never appropriate. Sarcasm, speaking with sarcasm to your mate, as Michael did to David, is never appropriate. It is always out of line. Go over to Ephesians chapter 4. Look at verse 29. When you find yourself speaking sarcastically, you need to know you are already out of bounds. Why? Ephesians 4:29, a verse we come back to over and over again. It says, "Let no corrupt word come out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers." Every word we speak to one another, and especially to the one who's closest to us, needs to be a word that's going to build up and not a word that's going to tear down. And if we're just letting our feelings out and saying whatever we want to say, and because that's the way we feel right now, and if it hurts, it just hurts. Guess what? That's not a word that edifies. It's a corrupt word that needs to be shut off. We can't just express our feelings any old way we feel like doing. Go over to Proverbs chapter 11, verse 12. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 12. Look at this. Remember that Michal despised David in her heart. Proverbs 11:12 says, "He who is devoid of wisdom despises his neighbor, but a man of understanding holds his peace." If you are speaking disrespect, you're not a person of wisdom, and you need to just shut up. One more thing on the way Michal used her tongue. Go over to 1 Chronicles chapter 15. Look at verse 27. You remember she criticized David for twirling about and uncovering himself? And the impression you would get is that he was naked. No, it's not. No, he wasn't. Do you know when we start criticizing people and start disrespecting people, we usually exaggerate? That's what Michal did. Look at this. This is in 1 Chronicles 15. This is another account of the same incident. It says, "David was clothed with a robe of fine linen, as were all the Levites who bore the ark, the singers, and Chananiah, the music master with the singers. David also wore a linen ephod." Do you picture the way he was? David was covered with a linen robe like everybody else, like all the priests. And on top of that, he had an ephod. So he was not uncovered. He was looking like anybody else. Michael's problem was he wasn't looking like a king. He's out there whirling around with everybody else, praising the Lord, instead of being regal. And so she exaggerated. So when we catch ourselves exaggerating somebody else's faults, we need to step back. Am I despising this person? Am I speaking to them and about them with disrespect? And guess what? We'll slay that dragon of disrespect. Amen. And the devil will never be able to use it to destroy the relationships God wants us to have.
This is Pastor Franklin. Thanks for listening to Covenant Living Today. This broadcast is an outreach of Covenant Community Church. We're a young congregation where the focus is on teaching the Word of God with clarity and integrity so that our members not only understand the Word, but know how to put it to work in their lives on a day-by-day basis. And because we're young, we have some great opportunities to serve. Perhaps you're looking for a church where you can both learn the Word and serve the Lord. If so, why not come and visit with us? Our worship services start at 10:30 every Sunday morning. Plus, we have Bible study every Wednesday evening from 7 to 8:30 p.m. Covenant Community Church is located at 1745 Dairy Street in Harrisburg. And if you'll come to the corner of 18th and Derry or 18th and Berry Hill, you can't miss our building. For more information or directions, or for a CD of today's message, please give us a call at area code 717-232-5299. That's 232-5299. Or visit our website at covcomchurch.org. That's covcommchurch.org. This is Pastor Ron Franklin, inviting you to be listening for our next broadcast of Covenant Living Today.